May we help to commence our evening service by singing together hymn number 666. Hymn 666. Tune Indulgence 547. With great and awful power, Jesus the Judge shall come to bid his foes depart and take his children home. How will the wicked quake and fear while they before him must appear? Poor soul, what is thy hope? On what dost thou depend? Art thou a stranger still to Christ the sinner's friend? Soon thou must leave thy all below, and then, O then, what wilt thou do? Hymn 666, tune Indulgence 547.
Thank you. together from the sacred scriptures, the Word of God, from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 9. The ninth chapter in the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thought, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier, to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marvelled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish, but they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler, and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come, and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose, and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him, and touched a hem of his garment. For she said within herself, "If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole." But when Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, "Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith be it unto you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marvelled, saying, "It was never so seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils." And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the labourers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth labourers into his harvest." Amen. And may the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us as we would come before him in prayer. Almighty Lord God, teach us now to pray unto thee as we come before thy holy majesty, low at the throne of grace, and we would be thankful for the throne of grace, a way made for sinners to approach unto God. As thou hast said, "And there will I meet with thee, and there will I commune with thee, from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims of glory." That we would come on the grounds of thy mercy, pleading that blood that does for sin atone, the blood of the Lord Jesus shed at Calvary, for the remission of sins. And all we come as sinners through the Saviour. O Lord, what great sinners we are. How we have sinned against thee. Guilty, guilty, guilty. All unholy and unclean. I am nothing else but sin. But on thy mercy I rely. Give me Christ, or else I die. Or that revelation of the Lord Jesus to our souls as our Saviour, and to know Him as such, and to have that sweet assurance, as we have been singing that old tremendously solemn day, the Day of Judgment. Oh, and how shall it be with us? Lord, are we ready to die? Oh, for one day we must die. We must leave everything here upon this earth. Then eternity. And where shall we spend eternity? Oh, Lord, that we might obtain Thy mercy, the pardon and forgiveness of our every sin, even for Jesus' sake, the dear Redeemer, and to be taken to heaven to be forever with the Lord, and to be saved from a deserved hell. Oh, to be saved from eternal punishments where neither hope nor mercy can ever come. Oh, save us for Thy mercy's sake. Lord, we live in this day of salvation. Oh, to hear Thy voice. And may we hear that inward voice speaking, "Come unto me." Oh, poor, guilty, needy, lost, ruined, vile, hell-deserving sinners, come unto me. Grant, Lord, Thy Holy Spirit, for left to ourselves we would never come. Or if we were to choose, we would choose the world, we would choose death. Oh, but Lord, bless us with Thy Holy Spirit, and may there be that choosing rather. Or may grace, as it were, make the choice in feeling that need of the Lord Jesus, fleeing to Him as such, that by grace we might choose life. And Jesus is the bread of life, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Oh, that eternal life Thou hast to give. Oh, Lord, bless us with everlasting life. And oh, Lord, that we might ever follow Thee, serve Thee, depend upon Thee, trust in Thee, wait only upon Thee, only be living to show forth Thy praise, and by that grace given to show the world how Christians live, that we might truly serve Thee. Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Not my will, but Thine be done. And we need that grace, so bend my will to Thine, Lord, that we might be submissive and resigned to Thy will, that we might be found true servants of God, waiting upon Thee, as the eyes of a servant look to the hand of his master, and as the eyes of a maiden to the hands of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon Thee. O Lord, do lead us forth by the right way. We read that word very searching. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. O Lord, may we be kept from going in such a way. It seemeth right, it appears right to sense and reason. But, O Lord, if it is not of faith, if it is not of God, it may look very promising, enticing, attractive. But if it is not of Thee, O keep us, prevent us, shut the door. And, O Lord, help us ever to wait for Thee. Lead us forth, therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me and teach me to do Thy will. And, O Lord, help us in our pathway, if amongst Thy people our pilgrimage, the way that we must go, dependence upon Thee, And may we prove, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And grant us grace to bear the cross. Oh, too often we try to cast off the cross and bear our own care. We get it all wrong. Lord, grant faith and increase our faith, that we might cast all our care upon thee and yet bear our cross and deny self. Oh, how self causes so much trouble, that idol of self, that determination of self, and self-pity, and self-importance, and self-seeking, and self-love, and self-righteousness. Putting self first, considering self. We need that grace to deny self, that we might truly serve thee. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It may be the prayer of one tonight. There may be a decision to be made. What is the Lord's will? What is right in the sight of God? What is the Lord's way? Oh, Lord, grant us thy divine direction in the way that we should go. And if we are yet to wait, help us to wait patiently. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. They shall not be ashamed that wait for me. O Lord, do help us in this day in which we live. The increased hostility against the people of God and the truths of God. But O Lord, do grant us that grace to continue, pressing on toward the mark of the prize of a high calling of God. And O Lord, do keep us and preserve us. Dangers all around, innumerable foes. Oh, Satan, that malicious foe, ever seeking to cause us to turn out of the way, to cause that shipwreck of faith, to bring us down, never to rise again. Lord, defend and protect us. And O Lord, do be that very present help in every time of need. Now bless each one here tonight and those who listen in. Thou knowest the needs of each one. Do we not read of thy omniscience and Jesus knowing their faults? With those scribes and Pharisees, they were evil faults. O Lord, may it be that we have come with our petitions, our requests, our various needs and desires. Thou knowest our innermost thoughts, those who desire mercy, pardon, forgiveness, those who long to know and find the Lord Jesus and be found in him, those longing to be found right with God, to make their calling and thus their election sure, those longing for a confirmation that they're in the right way, any who need reviving and restoring and comforting, reassuring. Oh Lord, do remember any improvidential need, and oh, help them to look to thee. And oh Lord, do be pleased to supply that need, for thou alone art able. We pray for those who would be here if they could, but have been unable to come, who perhaps are listening in from their homes. Lord, remember them. Any who are poorly afflicted, laid aside, infirm in weakness. Remember this cause of truth. Maintain them here. Bless them here. Work mightily in their midst. O Lord, do come and prosper thy word. May there be a godly increase. O bring prodigals back. For thou alone art able. With men these things are impossible. But with God all things are possible, nothing too hard. O Lord, who grant thy blessing here, the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And who help their deacon in all his responsibilities, uphold and strengthen him and encourage him. Oh, may there yet be Holy Ghost additions. Lord, remember Zion, remember the churches, remember all thy people in all their various needs. We pray for those who are in trouble, in deep distress. Lord, remember those devil-drag souls. Oh, Lord, undertake for them. Remember those in sadness and bereavement and great loss. Comfort their hearts. O Lord, do remember all thy people and all their needs worldwide, those who are persecuted, attacked, oppressed and threatened, denied and deprived. Lord, send help. Have mercy upon our guilty land and nation. What can we say? We have turned from thee. We have forsaken thee. We have turned to idols and false gods. And oh, what a state we're in. Once the land of the book, but now the land which has cast away the book. A land destroying itself. Lord, have mercy. Overrule our rulers. Sanctify this affliction to our King. May he yet turn to thee. Remember the heirs of the throne and our government. O Lord, have mercy, raise up to high office such who truly fear thy name. Remember also the nations of the earth. O cause wars to cease. Grant peace. Hold back, prevent, constrain, restrain those in positions of power who would abuse that power. O Lord, mercifully appear. We have much to pray for, but we would come in thanksgiving to praise God from whom all our blessings flow, to be truly thankful for thy goodness and kindness. Oh, to thank thee, Lord, for thy faithfulness, to thank thee for the throne of grace, the word of thy grace, the means of grace. But thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, a gift of gifts. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Oh, that we might believe on his name. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Grant us faith. Lord, hear our prayer. Forgive our every sin, all that thou hast seen amiss. And hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. Help us through this service, and may thy presence be known and felt. May there be the outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. May something be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Or might there be souls crying out, Lord, remember me. And after the service, take us each back to our homes in peace and safety, with a blessing. We ask all in that worthy, precious, all-prevailing name of Jesus. For Jesus' sake alone we ask. Amen.
The notices are that, God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde is engaged to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Richard Williams next Lord's Day during an afternoon service commencing at 3 p.m. and there will be no evening service next Lord's Day. And at present, there will be, God willing, a red sermon during the morning service and a red address during the prayer meeting. Today is a day for our monthly collection. and the church meeting that was due to be held week before last, but cancelled due to sickness, has been rearranged, God willing, for 6 p.m. tomorrow night. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing together hymn 570. Hymn 570, tune Richmond 212. The Lord on high His love proclaims and makes His goodness known. To men deserving endless pains, He gave His only Son. He gave His Son their life to be, to save them from despair, from death and hell, to set them free, in glory to appear. Hymn 570, tune Richmond, 212.
Amen.
the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I direct our prayerful attention to the chapter that we read together from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 9, the 13th verse. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Matthew chapter 9 from verse 13, but go ye and learn what that meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The ministry of the Lord Jesus, though so profound, was also so simple. You take the parable of the sower. And those who would have listened would have understood about the casting of the seed. They would have understood about the byway path. They would have understood about the stones in the ground. They would have understood about the thorns and the thistles. And they would have understood how really the ground needs to be prepared. Prepared for the seed. And generally speaking, where the ground was prepared, the seed would not only germinate and grow, but it would bring forth fruit. They would understand that because the lesson really was so simple. That was to the multitudes, but in the house, Jesus expounded further unto his disciples. He gave the spiritual meaning. He would have them learn. He would have them understand. He would have them have that knowledge of the Word of God. And that great need for their hearts need to be prepared by the Holy Ghost to receive the Word of God, that there might be fruit born to his honour and to his glory. Or that we cannot prepare our own hearts as the ground outside in the fields, in our gardens, it cannot prepare itself. And how true it is, we cannot prepare our own hearts to receive the Word of God. But what a mercy where the Holy Spirit has prepared our hearts. Or where the Holy Spirit has been at work, overturning all that is of the flesh and of nature, breaking up the hardness, in preparing that heart, and it may be through troubles and afflictions, sicknesses and losses and disappointments, but being sanctified, the Lord using these things that our hearts might be prepared, that there might be that felt need, that desire for the Word of God. Preceding our text, we have this further illustration the Lord Jesus gives. They that be whole or well in health need not a physician, a doctor, a surgeon, but they that are sick. Ah, the statement perhaps is so obvious, it is so clear. There are times when we become poorly, we become unwell, and we need medical advice, we need treatment. If you will, we need a physician. We are sick and, well, we cannot help ourselves. We cannot cure ourselves. We cannot heal ourselves. But we go to one in hope that they know what to do. They know the right way to treat. They know the right way to cure, to deal with this matter. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But then, following this, the Lord Jesus says, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, that is the self-righteous, but sinners to repentance. Not come to call the self-righteous. And here the Lord Jesus is really speaking to these Pharisees, those who were criticizing him through his disciples for eating with publicans and sinners, those who found fault with him, who were trying constantly to catch him out in his words, to accuse him thereof. Later on they say such an awful thing, but the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. At times they accused him of blasphemy. Was it to Pilate after his death? They said of him that he was a deceiver. And they were the very ones who were deceivers. They were the very ones accused that were blasphemous against the Lord Jesus, suggesting that he was not Almighty God. They were ones being led by the devil against the Lord Jesus, against his word, against his ministry, against his teaching. They were the ones who were at fault, not the Lord Jesus. And here they are standing on their own holy ground, holier than thou, and they're trying to, as it were, look down upon the Lord Jesus. They thought that they were right, but they were wrong. Just a passing thought there, how searching. It can be in us all when we think that we are right, and yet it may be that we are wrong. I don't know why that word from the Proverbs again comes into my mind. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. You're all acquainted with Pilgrim's Progress. You remember when Christian, and I think it's Hopeful, came to that stile. And just remember the path that they were walking was very rough. Their feet were sore. They were tired and weary. We would say it was hard going. And then to see this stile, and it seemed, it appeared, it presented itself as going a similar way. Perhaps we would say in modern language, it's like a bypass. There always used to be high streets going straight through the town. And in recent days, then the bypass, which goes round but ends up in the same place beyond the town. That was what they thought. That's what it seemed to do. It was Hopeful who was more concerned and troubled than Christian. But this bypath meadow, being a lovely lush meadow, would be so soft in their feet. It would be so much easier to go that way. And after some discussion and a little persuasion, they go that way straight into the enemy territory. And being cut off by the storms and the floods, they were caught next morning by giant despair and ended up in Doubting Castle being beaten. Oh, there is a way. It looks so right. It looks so good. It looks so attractive that seemeth right. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, with caution should we tread. For as we sow, we reap, and oft bring mischief on our head by some unwary step. I tell you one thing, the Lord's people need in their pilgrimage is patience. And that patience at times is waiting for God. It may be waiting for instruction, waiting to know what to do. We cannot understand why we have to wait. And we may be fretting and murmuring. Or we want something to be done. And in the end, the temptation is too strong. We take matters into our own hands. We force the way forward. We're determined to go. And it all ends in tears. Because we didn't wait. Oh, how we need that patience in waiting for God. And waiting on God. there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now these scribes, these Pharisees, these religious leaders thought they were right, and Jesus of Nazareth was wrong. They would not believe that he was the Messiah. They would not believe that he was the Christ. And they ever sought to contradict him and spoke against him. And at every opportunity they tried to put him down. They wanted to appear before the people, the crowds, as the righteous ones. They thought that they were righteous. One thing they didn't understand, they'd never been taught, they'd never learnt the truth, that they were sinners. They would have been highly offended if one said to them that you're a sinner. Highly offended at such a suggestion. I'm a Pharisee. I obey the law of God. I'm serving God. I'm special to him. I'm going to heaven. Oh, they were in that way that seemeth right, according to the flesh, according to the pride of our own hearts, according to their own evil thoughts. And yet there they were, as poor, vile, guilty, lost, ruined, undone sinners. But as scribes and Pharisees, they thought themselves so important, and they spoke against the Lord Jesus. Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Another time they said something against the Lord Jesus. Again, it was like a put down. It was something to speak derogatory of him. And yet the words have such a beautiful, blessed meaning that many a child of God has been greatly encouraged by those same words. This man receiveth sinners. Ah, what a wonderful truth, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. They could state the very words, although in a derogatory sense, this man receiveth sinners, and yet they knew not themselves as sinners and never had any felt need of him. They never believed in him, and unless they were converted, they perished in their sins. But oh, what a word of encouragement to any poor, tried, troubled soul here this evening. Of the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of a glorious Trinity at the right hand of the Father, full of compassion, great high priest, this man receiveth sinners. And yet these Pharisees, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? And the Lord Jesus would compare these publicans and sinners to those who are sick. Yes, not physically sick, not poorly, not laid up on a bed. I know earlier we've read of the man with the palsy. These may have been, as it were, relatively healthy in body, in mind. But all that sickness of sin. Who understands that sickness, that malady of sin, a sin-sick soul? Ah, spiritualizes our text. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick, the Pharisees, the scribes. They knew nothing of this sickness of sin because they considered not themselves sinners. They thought they obeyed the law of God. One of the most solemn characters in Scripture is that young man, that young rich ruler. He had so much, because he was a young ruler and is extremely rich and very wealthy. He was full of religion. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus pointed him to the law, do this and live. All these have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? He thought he was perfect. He'd be one of those who believed in sinless perfection. And that's where he thought he was. The Lord Jesus would yet venture to teach him. If thou wilt be perfect, go sell all that thou hast and give to the poor and come and follow me. And the thought came into his mind, sell all that I have, give everything away, give it all to the poor, and become a disciple in dependence upon him. He rejected the thought, he went away, he turned back. That was too much. He wanted his riches, he wanted his wealth, he wanted his position, he wanted his importance. He didn't need the Lord Jesus. Oh, a most solemn character in Scripture. One of those, I was going to say almost a Christian, perhaps not the quite right thing to say. He was so near, but so far. So near to the Lord Jesus. And yet so far, because he had no need of him. Because he knew not himself to be a sinner. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, the self-righteous, but sinners to repentance. I will have mercy. A merciful God. Scripture sets forth a merciful God. Psalm 130 has been a great encouragement to many. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, Lord, hear my voice. Give ear to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? If the Lord in strict justice was to mark against us our sins, who can stand? Who can stand before an holy, heart-searching, just and righteous God? But not one. Not one. I'll just mention, I can say again, I think I mentioned it this afternoon, we live in such a society that speaks against God and denies almost the being of God, the greatness of God, the sovereignty of God, and so on. Oh, may we not be left to even get caught up in these ways, the greatness of God who can dash whole worlds if he please. The power of God. And may we believe in the sovereignty of God, and as the hymn sets forth, sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise, all my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command. The power of God, who is in absolute control of what he does or what he permits. God who controls everything, who knows the thoughts of everyone, right into the deep recesses of the heart, every motive, every intention, every desire, of all the millions of people around the whole world. And some may think, well, that's not possible, but all things are possible with God. Oh, don't try to limit the Holy One of Israel. He is so great. Oh, he is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. There is none like him. And the Lord, oh, to think of him in his holiness and greatness, and we have sinned against him. We have broken his holy law. There is none righteous, no, not one. There are many who are self-righteous, but none whose righteousness is accepted before God. Because all mankind, being sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, are born in sin, shapen in iniquity, for all sinners. And what a leveller is sin. For all have sinned. We all have sinned. And we have broken the law of God. And yet, Scripture speaks of a merciful God. The glorious gospel sets forth a merciful God. It sets forth of the mercy of God in the person and finished work of the Lord Jesus. May we each be brought to know that 'twas Jesus, my friend, when he hung on the tree, who opened the channel of mercy to me. And again, in those streams of blood at Calvary, those streams of mercy. Mercy. I will have mercy. that the Lord speaks, but go ye and learn. Oh, learn of God's mercy, that he is a merciful God. He is a merciful Saviour. Oh, there is a mercy seat. I will have mercy. The Lord would have Moses have made that Ark of the Covenant and that mercy seat where sinners may approach unto God on the grounds of his mercy. And the apostle so beautifully sets it forth in the Hebrews, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And how vital, imperative, that you and I obtain the mercy of God. I will have mercy. But who needs mercy? The Pharisees had no interest in the mercy of God. The self-righteous had no interest in the mercy of God. Remember the two who went to the temple to pray. Again, the Pharisee, full of religion. His whole life and deportment was one of religion. But he justified himself that he was righteous. Never justified by faith. Never justified in the sight of God. He justified himself. He was that self-important. He thought so much of self that he justified himself. He never prayed. He just told God what a good person he was. Of all the good things he had done, or the naughty things he had not done. He was more of saying, I'm not a sinner. He was almost proud of saying, I'm not a sinner. He could look down upon that publican. He could despise him because he's a sinner. And the Pharisee rejected him. And yet how solemn to think that God rejected a Pharisee but received a sinner. Oh, that Pharisee full of himself. But absolutely no need of the mercy of God. But the publican, how different. Here we see a broken man. He stood afar off. Yes, he was spiritually drawn nigh unto God. Spiritually, he would come boldly to the throne of grace, but he stood afar off. He felt himself so unworthy. And yet, against that he felt that great need. But he did stand, but he stood afar off. He could not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven. I mentioned it this afternoon within the context of what I was saying. I just mentioned it this evening. Some years ago now, going to a chapel in between services, and a pastor was in the countryside. A pastor seen of an accident, I'm still not too sure what happened. If anyone was injured, I just remember a police officer standing by the side of a road and the person standing next to them. The police officer was obviously questioning them, and this person's head hung so low. I just thought to myself, I just wonder if that person is guilty of whatever's happened, full of shame and guilt, perhaps the one responsible. Well, it just gives an idea, an illustration of this publican who could not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but spiritually he did. Or that spiritual sight was looking up unto heaven, there the throne of grace, the mercy seat. He smote upon his breast. He felt the wicked evil of his own heart. Oh, he felt what a great sinner he had been. He smote upon his breast. But he cried out, didn't he? God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Now, a prayer the Lord will teach all his people to pray. He will teach them to pray, not to parrot-like repeat, not vain repetitions, although that prayer will be repeated oft. It will come not merely from the lips, it will come out of the heart. It will come out of felt need. Just like that publican who did not justify himself, indeed he condemned himself. He knew that he was a sinner, a guilty sinner. He knew that he deserved the punishment of his sins. He knew that he deserved to be cut off and cast into hell. but he also knew that God was merciful. We have it twice in the psalm, a beautiful word, twice in two psalms. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon those who hope in his mercy. And what a classic case we have of that publican. He truly feared God. Or how with humble reverence he came before God, trembling, full of fear, realizing of whom it was to whom he approached, and yet he would hope in the mercy of God. He may have been a great sinner, his sins may have abounded in multitude, in depth, in wickedness, but still he would hope in the mercy of God. Oh, mercy, by its very meaning, is for the undeserved, those who do not deserve it, but God is merciful to sinners who have sinned against him, who have broken his law, who deserve to be cast into hell, who deserve damnation. But oh, I will have mercy. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. It is not of works, it is not of what we can do for God. It is not in our offerings, it is nothing himself. The Lord Jesus was the sacrifice of sin. He is the acceptable sacrifice who offered up himself. He is the door of God's mercy. Oh, I will have mercy. That beautiful word in Romans 3 concerning the Lord Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. And it's a beautiful word, that word propitiation. In the simplest form, it means a covering. But then the mercy seat was a covering. It covered that which was within the ark. And it was a mercy seat, but also it was to be sprinkled with the blood of the sacrifice, that which was offered up. And we will see Jesus, the propitiation. It speaks of God's mercy covering the sins of his people. Oh, it speaks of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, he shed to make reconciliation to sin, for the remission of sins. I will have mercy, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. Oh, may we be found in the school of Christ. May we be found learning, being taught of God these vital lessons for our souls to learn, to understand. To learn is to understand, to have that knowledge of, I will have mercy. The wonderful mercy of God, that theme of God's mercy. We read that he delighteth in mercy. Now, isn't it a terrible thing? We poor sinners do not delight in mercy, we delight in judgment. People upset us, people transgress against us, we want vengeance, we want revenge, we want to pay them back, we want to deal with them. We call for the fire to come down from heaven. Oh, but to have mercy, it's not in our nature. Not at all. You just take that prayer the Lord taught his disciples to pray. Forgive us our trespasses. Perhaps we can pray that. Or as sinners, forgive us our trespasses. But then, as we also forgive them that trespass against that. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy. I will have mercy. Oh, condemned souls, pleading for God's mercy. It's how the Lord works in the hearts of his people, to teach them their need of his mercy, to come, to draw them unto the throne of grace, the seat of mercy, and then to plead that precious blood that does for sin atone. And he is, we read in 1 John, the propitiation for our sins. I will have mercy through the Lord Jesus, the door of mercy, where mercy is to be found in a merciful Saviour. I will have mercy upon my people. Oh, I will have mercy who shall be taught of God and learn what that meaneth. That's what really struck me. And learn what that meaneth, not just in our heads, not dry doctrine, but in our very hearts, in our souls' experience. Learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy. I take great comfort. You take that prayer of the Syrophoenician, she cried, Lord, help me. Well, surely every soul coming to God seeking his gracious help, the Lord will help. I refuse to believe of a soul pleading for God's help to be denied that help. That the Lord will help. He will send help. So again, souls pleading for God's mercy. God, be merciful to me, the sinner, the chief of sinners. That's what the Apostle Paul felt himself to be. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. But I obtained mercy. I obtained mercy. How vital that you and I also obtain the mercy of God. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy. And again, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus also taught that unless ye also repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance in and of itself is not saving, but the Lord brings his people to true gospel, evangelical repentance, from whence cometh repentance, godly sorrow. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. And again, you see that publican in a temple in prayer, full of godly sorrow. Not a worldly sorrow, not a pretended sorrow, but that which was of God, the Holy Ghost. He was truly sorry that he had sinned against God. It wasn't an outward show. It wasn't him becoming religious. It wasn't him wanting to be a Christian. No, he knew that he had sinned against God. And he knew that sin was an abhorrence and a hateful thing with God. And he knew that he had offended the holy majesty of God in sinning against him. And he was truly sorry. Perhaps all of us remember as young children, when we'd done something wrong, we're going to get into trouble, and we said sorry. We didn't really mean it, we just wanted to get out of trouble. That's a worldly sorrow. But this godly sorrow is when the Lord breaks the hearts of his people. When there's real contrition. There's that godly sorrow. One place the Lord will bring his people where that godly sorrow will, oh, as it were, pour out is at Calvary. At Calvary, where Jesus was smitten, where he suffered, where he bled, where he died. Why? To save his people from their sins. He who knew no sin became that sacrifice for sin, as all the sins of all the people of God were laid upon him. Now just think of that. Think of our sins. If we're truly convicted of our sins, the enormity of our sins, the multitude of our sins, the magnitude of our sins, the abundance of our sins, of thought, of word, and of deed, and of commission, and of omission, every sin laid upon the Lord Jesus, every sin, imputed to him. We have that verse in the hymn. My faith would lay her hand on that dear head of thine, while like a penitent I stand and there confess my crimes, my sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But oh, to see the Lord Jesus, the suffering Saviour, the dear Lamb of God, smitten, afflicted, wounded. Just let me read a few verses there from Isaiah 53. You see, the Lord Jesus, what he suffered, and he did suffer, and he suffered tremendously beyond what we can ever begin to even imagine. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, as sinners, returned from the Lord. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Sweet the moments, rich in blessing, which before the cross I spend, life and health and peace ensuing from the dying sinner's friend. Surely when we're brought there, oh, that godly sorrow for sin, to see what sin has done, to see the love of God in sending his own Son, to see the love of the Lord Jesus in so willingly laying down his life, to see that of the Holy Spirit to quicken, to bring us to that need of the Lord Jesus, to see there the suffering Saviour. And oh, what he suffered, the wrath of God. He suffered the punishment instead. Oh, what he suffered to save his people. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. To salvation. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And as they truly repent of their sins, they cry out for mercy. And it's mercy through blood I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. Again, the Lord Jesus taught of those two debtors. One owed much, one owed little, but they both owed. They were in debt. They had nothing to pay. They had nothing to pay their great debt. It's where the Lord brings his people spiritually. Or may we not be left to religion that thinks it has something to pay of a sacrifice, of an offering, something of self, something of the flesh, something of works, something of merits. No, we need to be stripped of all our own self-righteousness and be brought right down to that place where it's nothing to pay. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked flee to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me Saviour, or I die. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy. I will have mercy. Oh, the wonderful mercy of God. That mercy to forgive, that mercy to pardon, that mercy to, as the Lord Jesus did at Calvary, to put away sin. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Poor sinners deserving hell, for Jesus' sake, the Lord has mercy and pardons and forgives. Oh, that redeeming love, that redeeming grace, that redeeming blood. And oh, that precious faith to believe. I will have mercy. One character always stands out in Scripture as such an example of mercy. It isn't just the Apostle Paul. I think of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah. What lengths of wickedness he was left to. All the idolatry. Did he set up an idol in the temple? How he must have provoked the Lord to such anger and wrath, not only by his own sins, but causing others to sin and to transgress as well. And no doubt he put down the godly. We don't have it in Scripture, it's only suggestion that he may have been responsible for Isaiah's death. Oh, Manasseh, who caused the streets of Jerusalem to run with blood. What lengths of wickedness he was left to until the Lord must deal with him. Deal with him in mercy. I forget which king it was now, foreign king invaded, and he was taken away bound with thorns. That in and of itself would do nothing for him. That in and of itself, his humiliation, his captivity, his affliction, his distress, if not sanctified, would have had no effect at all upon him. Indeed, like Pharaoh, it may have hardened his heart. But in his affliction, he turned to the Lord. He turned to the Lord as a guilty sinner. He turned to the Lord as a feelingly condemned soul. And he may have been under a tremendous temptation. How can you ever expect mercy? You don't deserve it. Oh, look at what you've done. Look at what a great sinner you've been. How do you ever think you're going to obtain the mercy of God? Well, by that faith and hope and love through grace the Lord had put into his heart, he turned to the Lord. I will have mercy. And the Lord had mercy upon him. Even now our poor carnal minds might rise up and think, well, that's not fair. He doesn't deserve mercy. He was a terrible person. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy. Oh, it's so easy for us to point fingers. It's so easy for us to think there are those worse than us. I will have mercy. I just want to mention another perhaps character in Scripture who learnt our text, and that was the king of Nineveh. Remember how that city was exceedingly wicked and their crimes and violence rose up to God, and God would send Jonah the prophet to preach that thunderous sermon against them. Within 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. They didn't reject Jonah as some madman. They didn't cast him out. They didn't cast him into prison. They didn't reject the word. They believed. They believed. They didn't make a mockery of the word of God. They didn't say, well, that's not going to happen. They didn't carry on in their evil ways. They believed and they repented in sackcloth and ashes. Or they ceased from their wicked ways. They also turned to the Lord, and really it was through the king in his position who called the people to repentance. Though how can they expect it? They had the word of God. Within 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. There's no hope. There's no hope whatsoever. But go ye and learn what that means. If I will have mercy, who can tell? I love those three words. It's like a cord, a chain, binding a soul to the throne of grace. Who can tell that God will have mercy? Oh, who can tell? A merciful God to have mercy upon us. Though the temptation, the fear is, I shall never obtain mercy. God will never be merciful to me. But may the Lord, the Holy Spirit, stir up that prayer in our hearts. Like the king of Nineveh, to cry mightily unto God, to pray without ceasing, to plead with him, to confess our sins, to turn from our evil ways, to cry unto him to have mercy. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy. O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, may we truly learn of him. To think of those words in end of chapter 11, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Oh, to know that rest in our souls. Oh, to know that believing in the mercy of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. May we not be left to perish in unbelief. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Let us labour therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And in that very chapter in Hebrews, it ends, let us therefore come boldly, freely. Oh, let us come just as we are. Let us venture. Oh, that there is a throne of grace, there is access, there is a way made, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn number 586. 586, June, St. Godric, 556. Ye servants of the Lord, ye messengers of grace, go forth with one accord. Proclaim a full release. Jesus has made an end of sin, and righteousness divine brought in. Ye sinners in distress, the tidings are for you. Salvation is of grace, and full salvation too. Jesus has made an end of sin, and righteousness divine brought in. Hymn 586, June, St. Godric, 556. May the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.